Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back for another episode of the Startup Hustle. This is your host today, Matt Watson. Excited to be joined today by Zeno Rovato from Tier Ads. We're going to be talking today about mobile apps and marketing. You know, I've always wondered how these mobile apps get millions and billions of users and how to create a mobile app and launch it to the App Store and if anybody really cares that I do that and would download it. So hopefully we're going to learn all about that today about how to market a mobile app and get billions of users. I think this is going to be a good one today. So today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Double, a flexible assistant service for busy executives that match you with an experienced assistant. Double handles all of the upfront time-consuming items such as interviewing, matching, onboarding, invoicing, and training. Go to withdouble.com today and get 50% off your first month when you sign up with the code HUSTLE22. Zeno, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Just living the dream, although I would rather I'd rather be where you are today. I know you're a world traveler and your company is actually based out of Singapore, but did you say you were in Bali today?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's actually right now I'm in Bali. I've been living here for about 2.5 years, but in Indonesia about 3.5 years the total. So I absolutely love it here.
Well, I've never been there, but I've been to Singapore, and it's one of my absolute favorite places I've ever been. And we could talk all day about Southeast Asia and travel, but I don't think anybody cares. So yeah. my question for you then is, tell us about your background. And I know you said you're actually Dutch and you lived in California and somehow or another you ended up in Southeast Asia. So love to hear about your background and how you started Tier Ads.
Yeah, cool. So I actually studied in a very different area. I actually studied automotive business management, and I did car sales for about a year. But then I was like, okay, I don't really want to do this anymore. eventually, I started into mobile app marketing about 7 years ago. I had a company before this with my brother in Netherlands, and after about 3-4 years there, I chose to go to Asia and leave the company over to my brother and then start up something new in Southeast Asia because I thought like that would be a good market to go into. And ever since then, I've been in Southeast Asia, really. So since 2019, really, I've been here and been doing mobile app marketing for apps in Southeast Asia. And since 2 years, we also went back into Europe and United States. So it's basically globally, we're doing app marketing across the board.
Okay. So do you guys have like a certain specialty? Like what does Tier Ads do? Like if I signed up for Tier Ads, like who's your like target customer and like what kind of services do you provide them?
Yeah, so we mainly help apps that want to promote when they've already got their foot in the door a little bit with their initial users. So what I mean with that is like they've already started with their Facebook campaigns, their AdWords campaigns, you know, they already know what their funnel looks like. And what they're really looking to go for is like breakthrough and really scale up. So our company really helps app developers that want to go from like 100K downloads to 10 million plus downloads. So really they need to scale quickly. They need to get it done. They have maybe venture capitalists or anything like that that need to fuel that growth, and they need to show growth numbers. And our company is really there to help them support that growth and get it done in the time frame that they need it.
So these are all primarily B2C companies, right? They're consumer facing, right?
Yeah, mainly consumer facing. There are also some B2B apps in Indonesia because it's a very large market. It's like a merchants, they have local merchants. So they're, like the app is like a merchants app, but that's less of the amount of apps. It's like 10% of the apps, I would say, even less, 5% of the apps that would be what we promote, but mainly B2C apps. Yeah.
So do you have customers from all over the world, or do you focus primarily on like US market and Southeast Asia, or how do you do that?
So we actually have customers all across the board. We have a wide range of different types of clients actually. So in Southeast Asia, we have a big presence. So the majority of the team is in Southeast Asia, but we also have in Europe and in the United States, we also have team members of ours and the clients as well. And our clients are from like China to Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, Europe, most countries in Europe and the United States and all over the place, basically, yeah.
So if somebody has like a mobile game or something like that, and they've got 20,000 people that have downloaded their game, they turn to somebody like you to figure out like, okay, how do we acquire new customers for 50 cents or $5 a user or whatever it would be? Like that's your guys's kind of sweet spot, is to help them figure out how to do that.
So it's usually like for games and non-games, it's very different. So like a game is going to be like, okay, I want to get new users, but I want ROI after 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. They have some kind of funnel on that.
Right.
Whereas a non-gaming app is more of like they want to achieve a certain event within the app, right? Like a subscription,
right,
or like a purchase, or some loan submission, or like a deposit, something like that. That's what the main KPIs are that the client and an app would be looking for.
So for a US-based company, you know, a US-based app, what does it usually cost to acquire a new user? I mean, is it, if I've got millions of dollars to spend, like how many customers can I acquire this way?
So it really depends on your goals. You know, if you're just looking like for installs, it's very cheap. You can get very, very cheap installs. It's like at maybe 10 cents the download, but then the user won't really do anything, you know? So they'll just install the app and delete it right away. So you don't really want that. So it really depends on like what you want the user to do and how high of a quality do you want to have it. So it depends. If you get a user that wants to do deposit and is like an active trader in, for example, a finance app, right? That is a very valuable user, and people will pay a lot more for that type of user. So in the US, it can go up to ranging from $2 all the way up to $10 per install, depending on how active such a user is.
So if it costs, say, 10 cents in the United States to get somebody to download my game or whatever, I would guess to get somebody to do that in like the Philippines or Indonesia or some other countries, like it could be a lot less than that, right?
Yeah, you can go a lot less. Yeah, you can go to cents if you really want it. So that's in Philippines or in India, for example, you can maybe run campaigns for 1 cent just for installs.
That's crazy.
You'll just get installs, nothing else than that. Yeah.
That's crazy. And so you guys were able to do that primarily through Facebook advertising, Google advertising. Or is
everything outside of Facebook and Google AdWords. So usually every app developer knows how to do their own Facebook marketing and their own AdWords marketing to get started. But they'll hit a certain limit where they can't really scale any further, right? They'll only be able to get 30,000 downloads a month, maybe, or 20,000 downloads a month.
Got it.
What they come for us is they're looking for the entire advertising ecosystem, which is very, very big, where you can promote your app on many, many, many different ways than just Facebook or AdWords.
So what are some of those other ways? I'm intrigued now.
Yeah, so a couple of different ways that are there. It's like one is like OEM advertising. So OEM advertising stands for original equipment manufacturers. So these are like Samsung, right? Samsung has their own app store. Xiaomi. Xiaomi is a Chinese device mm-hmm. manufacturer. They have their own app store. Same for Vivo, Oppo, Transsion. But you also have telcos like T-Mobile. These have what's called pre-install campaigns, or they have their own app stores where you can actually promote your apps within these app stores. You can actually promote as well on getting your app pre-installed on a phone, or when they buy a new phone, that the first thing that they see is that they'll be able to select the apps that they want to choose. So that's one of the ways that you would be able to do that.
So if I'm an app developer and I want to take advantage of that, do they have to change their app? Do I have to change my Android app to work on these other marketplaces and things like that?
No, it's actually not needed. The only thing is that you have to upload it into these app stores. Our company actually has a very good relationship with all of these OEMs, so we're actually able to upload it for our clients. But there are also solutions that you can automatically upload it into all the different stores just using one platform, for example. So that if you upload it in the Google Play Store, it gets uploaded into all these alternative stores for you as well. And then you don't really have to make any changes. So it doesn't take that much time.
That makes sense. Is a lot of that for non-US markets, or that even applies in the US?
So for the US, it would be the Samsung store, for example. Like Samsung mm-hmm. has a high penetration. So it really depends on like the market that you're looking at and what the penetration of the phone manufacturer is, right? So in Europe, for example, yeah. Xiaomi actually has a quite high penetration. Huawei actually has a high penetration. And a couple other of these OEMs actually have a good penetration. So it really depends.
Americans think everybody has an iPhone, but you go outside the United States and that's just not the case. Like, I know in the Philippines, like, very few people have iPhones because they're insanely expensive. And but everybody's got Oppo phones.
Yeah, Oppo phones. Yeah, yeah. You say Oppo in America, and nobody will know about it.
that's the thing. Most people don't realize there's different brands of phones and around the world. And you know, in the Philippines, the average person, may make $300 a month or whatever. They're not going to spend $1,500 for the new iPhone. Like, not going to happen.
No.
You have other markets that are dramatically different. So. You know, you hear a lot about, love to talk more about advertising in mobile and the changes that have happened. So, you know, I know Apple made a big change over the last couple of years that I thought I heard cost Facebook like billions of dollars. Love to get more of your insight into some of how that mobile advertising is affecting things. And some of that would affect, you know, app developers, right? Like if I'm developing an app and I'm going to rely on ad revenue in my app, you know, all this matters to me too, right? So, curious your insight into the changes that Apple has made and some of these other changes that are coming down.
Yeah, that has had a huge impact on all Apple developers, really. What we would see is like the amount of advertising that is done on Apple is actually diminishing quarter over quarter. So the Android advertising actually is increasing in terms of the one that's done on iOS. They're trying to make a solution with this. This is something like called SK Ad Network. That's like Apple's way of doing marketing attribution, but it's very inefficient still. You're not really able to do a lot of things on that side to actually track the downloads very correctly. So a lot of marketeers have actually been taking their marketing budgets and putting it into the Android ecosystem. But the problem there is that there's something coming up that's called Google Privacy Sandbox. And Google Privacy Sandbox is basically the removal of the Google advertiser IDEA. That is what happened with the IDFA, right? Is that they give you consent to either you want to give your ID to an advertiser or not. But with the removal of the Google Advertiser ID, that basically that consent is not even there anymore. It's just going to be gone all completely. And Google's going to be coming up with their own solutions to basically remove that and depreciate that.
So let's back up for just a second and help explain to people what that really means. So Apple did something very similar, right? And I'm going to take a swag at what I think this really means, and you tell me if I'm right. So if I'm an app developer on iPhone before, and in my app I wanted to show ads, I wouldn't have been able to potentially get some IDs that would have better linked my anonymous user, I don't know who they are, back to their Facebook profile and things like that. And I would have been able to show them more relevant ads, right? And I would have got more ad revenue because I was showing them more relevant ads. Is that my understanding? And then the changes they did made it so now that person is more anonymous. So when I show them ads, I'm not making as much money because they're just more generic ads.
Yeah. So the main thing with advertising, really, with that ID is that that ID is connected to a lot of things that you've done. For example, like mm-hmm. the apps that you've downloaded, the apps that you use, or the things that you like, and that allows an advertiser to target you with specific ads. That
more valuable.
You're more valuable with that ID there because we know exactly, okay, this is my user. This is the user I need to show the ad to. It's more of, okay, I don't really know if my ad is actually being shown to the people that actually want to have my app or not. Right. It's like shooting.
And I have to be honest, as a consumer, I don't really like that either. It's like me watching TV ads and I'm seeing TV ads for Viagra. Like, I don't really need to see that. I'd rather see a TV ad about something I care about, like that I would actually be interested in. Right. So same thing if I'm watching a mobile ad, I'd rather at least be an ad that I would care about than just be something that's just totally wacky and stupid. So to some degree, I understand they're protecting consumers, but I almost feel like it almost makes a worse experience for consumers too. Does that make sense?
You're seeing a lot of irrelevant ads now. So it's basically a lot of ads that are just being shown just to show whatever they can sell you. And most of the times, it's really just not what you want to see at all. So the experience for the user is actually not benefiting from that.
I'd rather see ads that actually like sell me cool shit that I want. You know, tell me that, you know, Tommy Bahama is running some big promo and click here and save 20% on a new pair of jeans. And like, I'd rather learn about that than just some like really generic crappy stuff that makes no sense. That's just
that's the way it's going right now. So and with the Google privacy sandbox that's up and coming, that's basically just going to become even worse. But then on the Android ecosystem, right? So it's the same thing that's going to happen on that side, mm-hmm. and that's going to also cause a lot of issues and make it very difficult for a marketer to be able to target the right user.
So ultimately, that's going to make mobile app developers, like if I'm developing a mobile app and I rely on ad revenue, I'm going to get less ad revenue now, right?
Yeah, dramatically. Ultimately. Yeah.
And if I'm a big brand trying to advertise to people, I can't put enough money to work. I can't get the right audience anymore, and I can't advertise enough. So to some degree, this seems like it's bad for everybody. Who is this good for? Who what was the problem they were trying to solve?
This is actually a very big thing in our industry, what a lot of people talk about, and they actually say that the one who won the most from all of this was actually Apple.
Apple actually won. 'Cause they just said, screw everyone else?
No, they actually started doing their own advertising products because the Apple App Store was not a lot of advertisers were actually promoting in the Apple App Store too much yet. And the moment this switched, one of the best ways to track downloads and track performance campaigns on Apple became their own solutions. And one of the things that they're developing right now is basically a marketing stack from Apple. So
they created their own little monopoly and said, screw everyone else.
Exactly. And Google thought, like, yeah, that looks like a good idea. Let me try that as well.
So Google is now doing the exact same, like they're going down the same path. We'll still be able to market, but you're really going to have to pay Google to do that marketing instead of maybe being able to use other ad marketplaces or whatever. Like it's going to be much more, I have to give my money directly to Apple or Google to do these ads.
Yeah, unless you're smart about it, really. But basically, that's the way that's it's coming up to it. So basically, Apple and Google are both really trying to centralize that, in my opinion, right? They won't bring it out like, oh, this is what we're trying to do. But in my opinion, that's what they're trying to accomplish. So unless you're smart about it, you really prepare for it, right? And there are ways for you to prepare for it. You can actually get ahead of the curve. And if you are prepared for it, while others are not, that's going to give you a huge opportunity for you to be able to effectively market your app and also monetize your app really, really effectively.
So I'm excited for you to tell me how to prepare for that. Before we do that, I do want to remind everybody that, as a reminder, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Double, the experts in pairing founders with remote executive assistants you can trust. Everybody needs one of those. Startup Hustle listeners can go to withdouble.com, use code HUSTLE22 and unlock 50% off your first month, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Everyone needs a great assistant. We love Double assistants. I love having assistant. It's very helpful. So how do both advertisers and app developers prepare themselves for this, for these changes, as you're saying? Like what do they need to do to kind of, I don't know if I'd say take advantage of the changes, because it sounds like there's, it was just like a crappy deal all around, but to survive the changes, maybe that's the term. How do they survive these changes?
Well, if you really prepare for it, well, you can actually benefit hugely from it, because if you are able to be first to market, basically. Yeah. So what I'm seeing a lot is that there's new initiatives coming to make IDs that are outside of Google Advertise ID and outside of the IDFA, really. So that are also at the same time focused more on not sharing any personal information between two parties. So that's basically a private ID. There's an initiative called UUID 2.0 that's from like the Trade Desk. This is in programmatic advertising. And basically what they do is they have a hashing protocol. And what a hashing protocol is that you have a phone number or an email address that you have from your users that are very good users that you like. And you can incorporate that into the hashing protocol and get a hashed ID. Now that hashed ID would be something that if it matches on both the advertiser and on the publisher, which is the one that shows the ad, so the app developer and the one that wants to promote the brand, right? And they have that ID that's matched, you can still be able to target the exact user that you're looking to target. So if you're able to do that, right, you'll be able to monetize at a much higher level than you would be able to do today, because that would be such a commodity that a lot of people will be looking for to be able to target exactly on.
Was that kind of similar to how it used to work, though?
Yeah, exactly how it used to work. It's basically a way to get around Google and a way around Apple, because most of the marketing industry is like, okay, well, we don't want to be dependent on these two parties. We just want to also be able to target users without having to need these parties and their solutions.
So a lot of this was done in the cover of data privacy. So how does the data privacy affect all of these things and the new, you know, the new stuff you just described there? How is that all going to affect data privacy?
Yeah, so the Google Advertise ID and the depreciation of that, right, and the IDFA and the depreciation of that was Apple and Google's initiative to really try to give user privacy back to the user, right? So when we have such a hashing protocol with the UUID 2.0, right, from Trade Desk, what you can do with that is you can still be able to target users if they give consent, right? So if you're able to get consent from your user, from the publisher side, that they say, okay, I give consent to give my ID out, then you'll be able to still be able to target that. So it's all about consent nowadays. So if you don't get consent from your users that you're able to do these kind of things, you're not going to be able to do any kind of marketing moving forward. As in the past, you know, it was all very out of sight, right? They would take a lot of data from you without you even knowing. And now it's really going to be more focused on having the user's consent that they're okay with it, that we're actually going to be using their data or not. So it brings back to the same point that you brought earlier, right? That you said, like, I want to see ads that are more targeted because I don't want to see weird ads, right? This will allow you to also give consent and will make it possible. So yeah, there's some good things in that side as well.
So is that going to be as simple as like when I install an app, it asks me like, can it use my camera or use my storage or whatever? Is it going to kind of prompt the same way and say, do you agree to receive ads or whatever? Or how will they do that?
Yeah, something similar in that that area. Yeah, so it'll be some kind of consent that or in the privacy statement that says, okay, hey, are you okay with us that we use this ID? And then if they say yes on that, then it will still be something that they can consent on. Apple or Google will probably want to have something very explicit that you ask, some kind of prompt, like same as like the contact, like do you allow to give access to contacts or anything like that? So it'll be similar in that range.
So how does the privacy changes that are coming out also affect app developers in regards to just how they collect customer information? Like they sign up, you know, and I get their email, people's email addresses and all these different things. Like how do all these privacy laws impact that part of it too, of just like having consumer information?
So like I said, it's all about consent nowadays, right? So you really need to explicitly ask for consent from the user now. And that's going to be very important for anything that you keep in mind. If you don't ask for the consent, the laws, like what happened with GDPR in Europe, for example, and with the privacy laws in California, they're actually, you explicitly need to ask consent, and you need to make the user aware of what type of information you're getting and what you're doing with that. And if you do that correctly, right, you're still going to be fine in everything that you do. You just really need to be clear what you're doing.
So for the customers you work with, do you do a lot of long-term campaigns with them to kind of always, you know, supplement the growth of their apps, or do a lot of people come to you when they're launching a brand new app?
Yeah, so it's, most of the clients that we work with are long-term clients. So we like to work with clients that we can have long-term partnerships with, because it takes a lot of energy from us in the beginning when we're starting up a campaign, because we really need to look at, because every app is different. We've tried to make a tailored approach for every single app. Like, okay, what channel, what traffic source will work well? Does this app, this traffic source work well for your app, or does that traffic source work well for your app? And that takes a lot of time and initiative. So once we start a campaign, we usually tend to want to run it for a very long time with the client. And it really depends on their KPIs, what they're looking to achieve, right? So if you're a gaming app, right, you want to achieve 100% ROI, right? Makes sense. You put in $1, you want to get $1 back and some extra, right? That's the goal of what you want to get back from your marketing campaigns. Whereas a finance app, for example, or an investment app, what they want to have is they want users that deposit and then trade a lot so that they can earn from the fees. So every app has their own KPIs and their own settings, and like what is their business model, how they can make money. And once they make money, they'll be a long-term client in our perspective. So we just focus on how do our clients make money? How can you actually grow your app and actually make money from that? And that's the channels that we focus on that will actually make the app developers money as well.
I'm curious what your insight is like for these companies that have created some kind of mobile app and they had at least a certain amount of success. How fast do they grow versus like, is advertising almost like a complete necessity for them to grow, right? Like, I imagine most apps have some small network effect and referrals and maybe they're doing some other kinds of advertising, but I mean, is it almost a requirement that they do this kind of advertising for customer acquisition for them to really be successful?
No, it's not required. I would say it really depends on how quickly you want to grow often. Like if you're just a small developer and you're okay with earning a few thousand extra a month, right? You can do it by yourself. Like you don't need a company like ours, but or any marketing company or any marketing campaigns really. But if you're looking to really get a lot of users in a very short amount of time, or if you're looking to continuously grow your app because you're making it into a full business, right, then you always want to have some kind of user acquisition going on. That's just a must, because you'll have users that don't want to use the app anymore, or that users come after, might reactivate after a year or something like that. So there always has to be some kind of branding or performance marketing going on to keep your brand up to speed. But yeah, that's really what we see that works well.
So I'm curious, what other kind of tips you have for mobile developers that are, you know, for long-term success, like long-term growth and success of their apps, if you have any like specific just kind of tips for them?
Yeah, so the main thing I would see that I see a lot with app developers is that when you build your app and when you launch your app, have a clear vision of like how you think you want to monetize it. So I have had many app developers that build an app. They get a very nice app out there, and then they get a good amount of users, but they have no idea how to monetize it. And if you don't combine a good app and monetization together, you're not going to have a sustainable business model. So that's one thing that I see a lot of app developers have this great idea of how to build the app, but then they don't really focus on, okay, how am I actually going to make money with the app? Those two need to go hand in hand. It's no longer the way how it was in the past. You just need a good app and then you'll get funding and then you'll sell the app eventually. That doesn't really work that much anymore. It's really about making it a sustainable business model. That's really the main point.
So I'm curious, is there a certain kind of minimum budget that people need to work like with a company like yours? I mean, do they just need a few thousand dollars a month in ad budget, or is it, you know, take a whole lot of cash?
Yeah, it usually starts around 2,000. We usually start with around 2,000 on budget, and if everything goes well in terms of the KPIs that we achieve and you're happy with everything, then we scale up from there. We don't want to put any commitments on that side. Marketing needs to be profitable for app developers, right? And if it's not profitable for them, they don't want to continue. It's as simple as that.
So do you have customers that spend like millions of dollars a month on advertising?
Yeah, with six figures is definitely something that goes very quickly, especially in the gaming side. So gaming advertisers are very, very big on spending, and they are always looking for new ways to get more user acquisition done. So gaming is by far the biggest area and also the one that we see growing the most. Finance was very big in the beginning of the year, but of course, like most of the finance market's not that good anymore. So the finance apps have stopped promoting a little bit. We see entertainment apps and social apps like TikTok, similar apps to like TikTok that are doing a huge amount of promotion. And it's a very competitive market.
Well, that's what's interesting too, is most people don't realize this, of course, but it's a global world and it's a global market, and you've got competitors to a lot of these things in other countries that are totally different, you know, Americans and stuff I've never heard of. And, you know, it's like Uber's common here, but I go to the Philippines and it's, you know, Grab or Ancas or other apps, like totally different things. And so,
yeah,
there's a whole different world out there that most people just aren't aware of.
Yeah, it's every market has their own like local apps, right? So like if you go to Korea, you have Kakao Talk, I think, and you have the One Store that's their own app store, completely separate. It's one of the only countries that has that. Yeah, it's very funny. And they have everything by themselves. They just chose to do everything by themselves. And then if you go to
Japan, Apple uses that too, or what?
No, Apple's, but most people buy Samsung phones there. It's like 90% market share is Samsung. Right, it's they have very high penetration.
That's a Korean. That's a Korean brand, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they're all buying that just because I don't know, maybe some nationality thing that they're like, oh, okay, it's because it's a Korean brand, we're all going to buy it. But they have very high penetration there.
Well, I guarantee all of them know somebody who works at Samsung, also, right? Like,
yeah, it must be.
The degrees of separation of that have got to be very small. I mean, at the end of the day, South Korea is, you know, mostly Seoul and a couple other cities. Like it's not, you know, hundreds of millions of people that live there. So I imagine there's a lot of, you know, close network support of Samsung, and everybody knows somebody that works there. So.
Yeah, that must be. Yeah. It's interesting to see like every individual market has their own, local touch, right? So Japan mm-hmm. has Line. If you go to Indonesia, it has Gojek. It has our own whole suite of apps, right? So if you're marketing an app, right, and you want to look into the Southeast Asian market or anything like that, it's like be understanding that it has a completely different mentality around certain apps is extremely important, especially if we were going into these kind of markets.
Well, I think that's a great question there that I wanted to ask you about is, you know, what if I've built an app or a game and I want to take it internationally? Is that something that you guys help with of like, oh, the language part of it and the currency part of it and understanding the nuances of the world market? Is that something you guys kind of consult around as well?
Yeah, we help with getting everything onto all the alternative app stores. So if you want to get any app on any alternative app store, we can help you out with that. The translation part, we don't really help with, but we do know which markets you can start testing out with. Like, in, for example, if you want to get a bit of an idea of like how the Southeast Asian market works, right? Philippines is actually a great market to start because there's a very high penetration of English.
Yeah.
You can start in that market and then get a little bit of an idea of like, okay, what should I pay per download? What is the ROI right. of those downloads? Like, what should I expect from it? And then once you see that, you can make the investment into doing the translation. So we always start with the Philippines. That's one of the first markets that we start with. We say, okay, if you get good success there, then we can start helping you with maybe finding a translation agency or anything like that that can help you out there. Yeah.
So I'm curious if you have any other kind of growth hacks or suggestions for mobile app developers.
If you're a mobile app developer, you really want to grow heavily. I would say like getting featured or on the Google Play Store or the iOS App Store is one of the ways that we see the highest growth coming from app developers. So we sometimes... there are companies that are specialized in helping you get featured. So if you have an app and you really need to grow a lot, one of the ways that you can get that done is getting featured by Google Play Store. And that is just going to be an increase of like 500,000 downloads to 1 million downloads just by being featured. So
wow,
that's one of the best ways really to get a lot of users. So it would even perform better than us, right? Because there's just a huge amount of downloads in a short amount of time. Next to that is also App Store optimization. App Store optimization is also very important because any paid promotions that you do, if you do App Store optimization, you know, you're just going to, the paid promotions are just going to make the App Store optimization results get much, much better. So you're going to get better rankings for keywords. You're going to get better rankings for your overall rankings. And that's just also going to have a huge impact for you.
So do you have to pay a lot to become featured, or is that more like bribing somebody at Google, or how does that happen?
So in the past, it was in Apple was like who was in the cafe at the main Apple compound that they have there. If you knew anybody there and you said, hey, I have this app, you would just come there as a developer with your app and then maybe they'll feature you. But now it's a lot more structured. So there's whole teams that actually... help you to get in contact with someone from Google or get in contact with someone from the app store to get them to review your app and see, okay, hey, maybe we can get your app featured. It's not really a pay and you can get featured. No, it's just that they'll consult you on actually getting featured. So it's all about connections on that side.
I'm looking at it on my phone here. I was just kind of curious what the top grossing apps are on this is on Android. And it just kind of surprises me after all these years, like Candy Crush and Clash of Clans are still on the top of the list.
Yeah. They still do great.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. They also do a lot of marketing. So they also always do user acquisition. They have an always on campaign and they're very aggressive with that. So they want to be on top of the spot there at all times. So there's actually a lot of like similar smaller apps that try to do the same thing, but they're not able to get towards that top ranking, which gets a lot of organic users. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of knockoffs of those apps. Well, once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was sponsored by our friends over at Double. Double's remote executive assistants can help you with everything from email, calendar organization to expense reporting, database management, a lot of different tasks. Find your perfect assistant today. Head over to withdouble.com. Use code HUSTLE22 and unlock 50% off your first month. Even easier, click on the link in the show notes. While you're there, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss a daily dose of the Startup Hustle. And thanks for joining us today. So as we round out the episode here, I'm curious, do you have any other, you know, final tips, you know, words of wisdom for mobile app developers out there?
I would just say get prepared right now for the upcoming changes with the Google Privacy Sandbox. And if you're well prepared now and you get already towards a solution that you can actually monetize with these different solutions for targeting users, you'll actually be able to benefit hugely from that. So I think right now the main message I would say is prepare now and be able to profit from it later by being one of the only ones that'll be able to do it.
All right. Well, today's episode, this was with Zeno Rovato from Tier Ads. And if your company does mobile apps, I'm sure his company Tier Ads can help you with your advertising and expansion and growth. So definitely check them out. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Awesome.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.